Taking Stock with Carol Masser and Michael McKee, on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app, free for iPhone and Android devices.
Tomorrow, that will be the anniversary of the flash crash, a place that many of us wish we hadn't been. Those wild swings in the market that happened in an instant. Here to talk a little bit more about it and whether or not it might happen again. Back with us is Joe Saluzzi, partner and co-founder, co-head of equity trading at Themis Trading, based in Chatham, New Jersey, in our Taking Stock studio. And also with us is Scott Skirm. He is managing director of fixed income financing futures at Wedbush Securities, author of Rogue Traders. He's based in New Canaan, Connecticut, also with us in our Taking Stock studio. So let me put it out to both of you. And Joe, why don't you kick it off? I mean, could we see something that happened like the flash crash happen again?
I think we can. Maybe not as severe with a dip, which was, you know, it was over 1,000 points then, but I think certainly can. And regulators have done a few things over the years since then. 5 years, which is incredible.
It's a long time.
They've tried a few things. They've gotten rid of some of the noise. There's something called a stub quo. They've put some sponsored access rules in. The latest was something called Reg SCI, which puts more controls on the exchanges, not necessarily the brokers or some of the ATSs, alternative trading systems, which is good. But you're still not getting to the root of the problem. And we think that's the reason is you have a fragmented equity market, in particular equities, but it's also in other markets. And maybe Scott will tell us more about the fixed income market. But in equities, when you've got this kind of fragmented liquidity, you don't have a buffer zone. Mm-hmm. And you don't have any traditional market makers or specialists anymore because, hey, the world's changed. And I understand that it's electronic now. But market makers have a very short-term approach now, and they have a risk level. And then when the risk level gets to a point, well, they pretty much exhausted. And that's what happened on the flash crash day. Some of them said, you know what, I had tapped out my risk and now I'm going to walk away. How do I feel comfortable now? Are they going to stand there and take hits? No, of course they're not. They're in business to make money. So we still have a system that is subject to it. Even though we have things like circuit breakers and so on, you could still crash down 7% in a matter of minutes and before you know it, by the blink of an eye.
Well, the most recent flash crash was in the bond market. And part of that comes out of regulation, Scott, and the idea that banks can't hold enough inventory anymore.
Oh, you're way ahead of me. You took all my great points already. So I could just say, hey, I'm with him.
Yeah.
but in reality, and that's true. And here's something that's really interesting and you have to keep in mind is that the markets are forever changing. There's technology, there's computerization, there's new rules and regulations and new players. So, you know, where a lot of regulation looks back as to what happened in the past to try to fix that, there's always things that are changing in the future. So, for example, and this is a great theme that investors, traders should consider, is how regulation going forward is impacting the liquidity of the markets, where you have entities out there, banks who used to provide liquidity, and on October 15th, there was just no liquidity in the fixed income, the treasury market, and it went for a very wild ride, kind of called the flash crash of the bond market.
And that one's still out there as a possibility at any time, right? Especially if the Fed comes out and says something interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly there are certainly triggers. And just like the flash crash that we're talking about in the equity market for May 6, 2010, is that there's triggers that set things off. And certainly, you know, originally with the flash crash back 5 years ago, the report blamed Waddell and Reed, a money manager in the Midwest, for programming or misprogramming an algorithm to sell the E-mini S&P 500 futures contracts. And that was kind of taken as that was the trigger for it. But now it's interesting.
It seems so simple.
Right, exactly.
In this complex marketplace.
And that's one of the things, too, is, you know, does one thing just cause major market moves like this?
Does it, Joe?
Well, I think here's an issue now, which we've changed. The markets have changed a lot, and technology has spread. But, however, what you have now is a lot of cross-asset trading. You've got, like, for instance, that flash crash that we're talking about supposedly started in the E-mini S&P futures.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we know, up until a couple of weeks ago, there was a fellow out in the U.K. supposedly who was spoofing the market, and then he was the cause of it. But either way, whether you think it's somebody, it started in the E-mini S&P futures at the commodities world, right? And it migrated to the equities world quickly. So what I'm saying is that these markets are now interconnected. Scott's bond market and my market and the currency market, we're
right.
All intertwined, yet regulators don't have a global macro view of this. They operate in individual silos.
So how do you get those individual silos to start talking together or regulating together? Because those are little fiefdoms, and they're all protecting them.
Well, I think certainly in Washington, let's say, for instance, the SEC is overseen by the House Financial Services Committee, where the CFTC is overseen by the Agricultural Committee. So there's separate fiefdoms, there's separate budgets, actually, and they don't really do a good job of talking to each other. And I think they do. One of our recommendations is to put together a task force so that when something happens, you're ready to go. And you also have to have the data. Unfortunately, the CFTC in particular doesn't have the data. They just mentioned when the Sereo case came out that they don't have access to orders. They only have access to trades to see on a real-time basis. Well, that's way unacceptable.
Well, have we basically in all of these asset markets gotten into having basically Hal running things? I'm sorry, Dave. Where computers are basically doing all the trading and you got to figure out which one is going to go rogue?
Yeah, absolutely. And that is kind of interesting here because that goes back to the flash crash and Waddell and Reed. They had misinputted a algorithm to sell some futures contracts. Now, when they turned it on, it was automated. It was running and it's kept selling and selling and selling. And there was no button to turn it off. And the same thing with Knight Capital Group. On August 1st, 2012, an algorithm called PowerPeg was awakened inside of Knight's algorithm for putting together parent and child orders and just started buying on the bid side, selling on the offered side, or buying on the offered side, selling on the bid side. So there's a lot of automation and a lot of mistakes that can be made as things are so fast and so automated.
So should we just take for granted that we're going to have flash crashes along the way, especially if the regulatory environment just can't keep up with it? Is it just kind of norm, the new normal in terms of the marketplace?
See, I don't think it should be. I would argue actually that I don't think Waddell and Reed was the reason for the flash crash. I in fact think that this Kansas City Mutual Fund, as they call it, no one's named them, was a victim. They were a victim of the flash crash. And if we look at the latest UK trader case, there was spoofing going on. There was a lot of activity going on in the market that day. That fellow in the UK was representing 28% of the orders right prior to the flash crash. Waddell's algo, or that algo came out there, was just trying to sell a market order. Sure, it was a sizable trade, but for the E-minis, they should have been able to handle it. The problem was the books emptied out. Like we were talking about before, the liquidity just emptied out and risk levels got exhausted so quickly. So the answer to your question is absolutely, we can have these flash crashes. There's a sociology professor called it normalization of deviance, where we're starting to get normalizing these deviant events, just saying, okay, it's just going to be another flash crash. Well, that's unacceptable. Mm-hmm. These are our markets. We need to trust them. We need to have confidence in them. And I blame the regulators and I blame the exchanges for not doing a better job of getting in there, knowing what they should be regulating.
So what do we do about it?
Well, you know, it's interesting, too. And part of it, too, is you have automation tools, you have computerization tools that help people place orders in the markets. And it's certainly a great tool for getting orders executed better and more efficiently. Absolutely. But then, of course, there's a darker side to that also. And that's what Nav Saro, according to the CFTC charge against him, that's what he figured out was, well, instead of using a computer algorithm to input orders more efficiently, he was going to use a computer algorithm to do layering or spoofing, as they say, basically putting a lot of orders in above the market that have no expectation of ever trading to make it look like there's a lot of sell orders out there and then drive down the market. And if the CFTC is correct with their filing, he made $40 million doing that over about 4 or 5 years.
So it's left in the regulators' hands. 20 seconds here, Joe. I mean, that's how you see it.
They need better surveillance methods. If you've got a bank vault and you can leave the door open, there's going to be problems. Put some better surveillance, better cameras. The SEC's proposed something called a consolidated audit trail. It's been years in the thought process, and it still hasn't even been put out to bid yet. Better surveillance, and you'll get away with a lot of the bad actors will go away.
So by the time they put that through, then there'll just be a new set of problems.
Oh my God, I don't want to think about it.
And I'm an optimist.
I'm sorry, Dave, I can't do that.
Joe Saluzzi over at
Themis
Trading.
We're way past 2001, and look where we are.
And Scott Skirm at Wedbush Securities joining us here on Bloomberg Radio.
Taking Stock, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, in San Francisco on 960 a.m. and 103.7 FM HD2, and Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119.